Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to try to keep an eye on the waiting room to make sure that everybody who is trying to attend gets in. My name is Kathy Dinger. I'm superintendent of Bushnell Prairie City Schools. I'm joined by quite a few people to hopefully help answer all the questions that you might have. The format we're going to use tonight is I'm going to briefly go over the return to learn plan, and then we'll give you some time to type questions. I do have everybody muted so that you can type any questions that you have. That way it won't be hard to manage everybody that's joining us tonight. I'm going to share with you who I'm joined by. Mr. Harrison, assistant principal at the junior high, is with us. Mr. Zarello, principal at the elementary. Ms. Daly, principal at the junior high and the high school. Mrs. Rhodes, director of programs and services. Mrs. Webb is here to answer any technology questions you have. She's our technology coordinator in district. And Mrs. Havens, lead teacher at the elementary. Mrs. Wrench worked with us quite a bit yesterday, but had a previous commitment tonight, so she was unable to join us, and I know she's disappointed about that. So we're just going to get started. For those of you that just joined us, you will be able to type questions after I review the Return to Learn plan. And we'll do our best to work through those questions and answer them to the best of our ability. I would imagine that we will have some questions tonight that we don't have the answers for because we're still working through some details, or you may have a specific situation that impacts your family or your children that we may not have addressed, and we need to add that. So we'll just get started. Okay, hopefully you can all see the Return to Learn plan. I'm going to move a few things around here. Bear with me. I want to start by apologizing. I had a deadline in an old draft that was August 1st, and we were asked to change that to August 7th to give families a little more time and to not make it so close to a weekend. So we did change that, and this document that you have in front of you now and that I updated online reflects that new deadline. So I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm just going to summarize. So everything in this plan is based upon us entering phase four of Restore Illinois and is aligned with guidance documents that were provided to districts by the Illinois State Board of Education and the Illinois Department of Public Health. So the five limitations that we had to work around, or barriers that we had to address, were requiring use of appropriate PPE, or including face coverings. Initially, the state indicated that we would be able to use face shields, and they weighed in on that again and they removed that. So it is back to face masks. No face shields are allowed. We continue to need to prohibit more than 50 individuals from gathering in one space. We're required to observe social distancing as much as possible. We're required to conduct symptom screenings and temperature checks. And we're required to increase school-wide cleaning and disinfection. So the plan was developed by Bushnell Prairie City District leadership team and other key school and district personnel. And these are the beliefs we focused on when we were working on the plan. We believe that all students should have access to high-quality instruction. We believe in-person instruction is the most effective model for our students. We recognize that consistency and structure are important for students, teachers, and families. And we know that we're responsible for creating and maintaining safe learning environments. So in summary, what the team developed was a hybrid plan. We looked at everything from an AB day to a complete remote day to AB weeks, all variations with the focus of trying to get kids back in school. We do have to provide 5 hours of instruction. So the model that we're implementing is 4 hours of in-person instruction with additional hours required remotely. So the school day will begin at 8 a.m. and it will end at 12 p.m. And that'll be Monday through Friday, excluding holidays and days of other non-student attendance. Let me just go back to make sure that we have everybody in. I need to keep that screen up. So sorry about the interruption, but I want to make sure we get everybody in. Okay. So school starts back on August 17th. Let me back up. I talked about the school days from 8 to noon. Students who would like to eat breakfast at school may start arriving at 7:30 a.m. They will be eating breakfast in either their first hour class at the junior high and the high school or in their homeroom class at the elementary. So we come back Monday, August 17th is when teachers return. Students return Wednesday, August 19th. That first 3 days of school will primarily be used to teach students how to engage in remote learning in this new blended model. So there will be a lot of time spent working through how to use their Chromebooks, how to keep them charged, how to access Google Classroom, things of that nature. Couple deadlines in here. We are going to be keeping daily attendance and teachers will utilize traditional grading. Teachers will maintain a regular school day, so they'll be available until 3:15 in the afternoon for scheduled student consultation or assistance and to manage remote learning. One of the primary questions we've gotten is why is it half day? And we'll go into that a little bit later once we get through the plan. If you are not planning on sending your child back to school, but he or she will participate in remote learning only, we ask that you contact the school office no later than Friday, August 7th. That gives teachers time to plan and make those arrangements and get class lists finalized. Please understand, we've had some confusion from some parents. Remote learning is not the same as homeschooling. So students who participate in remote learning are those students who have completed the registration process or enrolled in a specific grade or course. And then of course, they're a student. They're subject to all policies and procedures established by the district. So this is what it'll look like at each building. At the elementary, the in-person instruction will focus on reading, language arts, and math, with social studies, science, art, music, and PE provided remotely. Intervention and special ed will be provided from 8 to noon while students are in attendance during in-person instruction and remotely as needed. Response to intervention will also be provided. Lockers will not be used and students will maintain their materials in their backpacks or classrooms. Our pre-K students will attend every day from 8 to 10:30. At the junior high and high school, of course, it looks a little different. At the junior high, there will be 6 class periods provided that include language arts, literature, science, mathematics, social studies, and PE. Electives, with the exception of course, will be offered remotely, and we're not offering course because of the added risk of exposure to airborne illnesses. Again, special ed will be provided, and students will remain in their grade level group in a classroom, and teachers will rotate classrooms. So that's a little bit different at the junior high. In order to kind of limit cross exposure, that's how we've developed as kind of a safety idea. Lockers will not be assigned, and again, students will maintain their materials in their backpacks or classrooms. At the high school, very similar to the junior high, 6 class periods will be provided that include all course offerings with the exception of chorus, foods and nutrition, and food science. Again, due to the increased risk of exposure to airborne illnesses, and freshman seminar, and that was to allow enrollment in electives. The big focus at the high school was on making sure that students could maintain track for graduation. PE will be offered remotely. Edgenuity, which is an online platform, will also be available for students who need credit recovery or to obtain additional credits. Special ed, again, services will be provided from 8 to noon. And students will be assigned to specific groups and dismissed during passing time to avoid large numbers in the hallways. Again, at the high school, similar to the junior high and elementary, we won't be using lockers. That'll cut down on kind of some congregated places in the hallways. Students will maintain their materials in their backpacks or classrooms. They're also going to stagger dismissal to avoid large numbers in the hallways. Okay, so for school breakfast and lunch, this was another priority in that we didn't want our students not knowing where their breakfast or lunch was going to come to on a shortened day. So breakfast and lunch will be available. Breakfast will be provided to students as they enter the building. And I mentioned earlier that they'll eat in their classroom at the elementary or first period class at junior high and high school. Lunch will be provided to students at the end of the day. So for bus riders, it will be loaded onto buses. And for other students, it will be distributed to them as they exit the building. If your student is participating in remote learning only, you should contact the school office if you would like to pick up their breakfast or lunch. Okay. Moving on to getting to school. Traditional busing will still be provided for those who qualify. However, due to the congestion on buses, we have several that have a large number of students riding, and the maintaining the 6 feet of social distancing is going to be difficult. We're strongly encouraging parents or guardians who can transport their children to do so. Students who ride the bus will be required to have a face mask and their temperature taken by staff prior to boarding. We're not going to be able to transport any student who does not have a face mask or any student who has a temperature of above 100.4. So we're asking that parents remain at the bus stop until their child has been screened and allowed to board the bus. If we have to hold the bus because we have a little one who doesn't have anybody to return home to, that's going to be problematic, and we certainly don't want to put anybody at risk. On the bus, and I should add in classrooms, students will have assigned seating, and they'll continue to wear their face mask throughout the remainder of the day. If you are not able to drive your child to school, here's that August 7th deadline again, and you are eligible for busing, it's important that you notify your school office that you need busing no later than Friday, August 7th. Please don't just assume that busing is going to stop at your house unless you've contacted the school district. That'll allow Mr. Van Tine to really get some even numbers on those routes and help us maintain social distancing as much as possible, and give us time to also assign the health monitors who will be doing the screenings. Students who walk to school or drive to school or who are dropped off will be required to wear a face mask and their temperature taken prior to entering the school buildings. Principals have been busy working out those schedules and doing it in such a way that students aren't clustered all together in the morning. There will be queue lines established at each school building that promote social distancing while students wait to enter the building. Okay, just some health and safety. Some of this we've already gone through. But all staff, including bus drivers, will undergo a health screening prior to starting their day, as required by the Illinois Department of Public Health, except while eating and during band. Face coverings must be worn at all times in school buildings, even when students or teachers are able to social distance. All individuals in a school building must wear a face covering unless they have a medical contraindication provided by a medical physician, are under 2 years of age, have trouble breathing, or are unconscious, incapacitated. There's a whole list of things that would be exclusionary. Please know that face masks do not have to be medical grade or the N95 that you hear about a lot, but they do need to adequately and completely cover the mouth and nose. And we talked about the cutoff would be 100.4, which is determined as fever-free. If a student or staff would have a fever, they would not be able to return. And this is pretty typical. This is already in our health policy. Should not return to school until they have been fever free for 72 hours without medication. So that's consistent with policies we've already got in place. We will maintain frequent cleaning of all hard surfaces throughout the day and in the evenings once students have been dismissed. We're working hard to make sure we have adequate hand sanitizer in every classroom, and hand washing will be encouraged and frequent throughout the day. The other thing we wanted to be sure to include is that we're aware that not only is it our health and safety mandates being considered, but we also need to consider the comfort and emotional health of our students. And so teachers have been talking a lot about taking frequent breaks, learning outside when appropriate, and they'll continue to monitor that throughout the day to make sure students are comfortable and monitor when they might need a break from the mask until they're used to wearing them. Then we get into a little bit about what happens if a student or a staff member tests positive for COVID-19. I'm not going to go through this a lot. Regulations seem to change frequently. Just know that we're working closely with the McDonough County Health Department, and we'll continue to follow their guidance and ask people to self-quarantine or isolate as needed. You should know that the symptoms that we ask no one to come to school if they have a fever, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, chills, fatigue, muscle and body aches, headaches, sore throat, a new loss of taste or smell, congestion or runny nose, nausea, vomiting or diarrhea. So if you have any questions about that and you're concerned about your child, please contact the school office and we'll be able to support any questions there. Attendance will be taken at the beginning of the day at the elementary and at the beginning of each class period at the junior high and high school. So traditional attendance policies apply. If a student is unable to attend, the parent or guardian should contact the school office. That'll save the school office a lot of time from tracking down and making sure we're not missing any students. As is customary, and this is our traditional policy as well, if no call is received by the school office for a student who is not in attendance, he or she will be marked unexcused. Students who participate remotely will have their daily attendance monitored through Google Classroom participation. Particularly at the junior high and the high school, the school day is from 8 to noon, so those students who have decided to participate remotely, they will sign in at 8 o'clock in the morning to have their attendance taken, and then they will maintain that attendance throughout the day for each of those six courses. So, grading, we got a little bit better guidance from the state this time. It was very chaotic when we first went to remote learning, so teachers will be responsible for assessing student work and assigning traditional grades at the junior high and high school, and then, as you know, we use performance descriptors at the elementary. So teachers will be providing feedback during in-person instruction and then via Google Classroom. The next list is just a list of how we're all going to pull this off together and what we hope each group can kind of bring to this problem that we're all facing. So district employees and administrators are committed to providing teaching materials and digital resources for teachers, appropriate learning materials and digital resources for students, resources, training, and support for families so that we can make sure they have access for their students, providing any necessary outreach to students and family to make sure we're all handling this new normal well together, training staff to conduct health screenings, and then providing cleaning supplies, training, and staff to maintain safe and clean learning environments. Teachers, to maximize, promote learning, and maintain communication, we'll utilize Google Classroom, and for special education students, Google Meet to develop assignments, due dates, communicate student progress, and take attendance of remote learners. They're working to organize and assemble student supplies to support remote learning or activities that are introduced during in-person instruction and then require some extra time at home. They'll monitor and support students' academic and social emotional needs, take daily attendance. They'll work closely with families to ensure that students stay engaged in learning, and they'll develop a schedule that supports remote learning, allowing for consultation and any needed one-to-one assistance. Thank you. To stay engaged, we're encouraging students to attend all-person, in-person instruction if possible, to bring their Chromebook and charger to school every day, to utilize Google Classroom to engage with their schoolwork and communicate with their teachers, show care and responsibility for their Chromebooks, which will be issued to them, and it's really important that students be encouraged to ask for help or clarification when needed. Parents or guardians, to support student learning and safety and maintain these homeschool connections, which are really important right now, we ask that the first and primary thing that's really important right now because of all the communication that's coming your way is please maintain current contact information, phone numbers, and email in Skyward. You'll have the opportunity, Mrs. Webb is working on some instructions to help you know how to download communication apps onto your mobile devices if you'd like to do that. Please continue to work closely with your teachers to address student learning needs. That's really a two-way street, and we need that communication flowing both ways. Notify the school office or teacher if you're having any barriers to remote learning and you need assistance with some technology. Provide a space and basic school supplies at home for your child to complete remote learning activities. You probably already have this just for general homework needs. Encourage your student for care and responsibility of Chromebooks. Keep a child home if he or she exhibits any of the symptoms that I mentioned earlier. Provide a mask for your child every day they attend school. And again, please remain at the bus stop until your child is allowed to board the bus. So these are some important deadlines that were covered in the document. The really important day for both activities is really Friday, August 7th, to notify your school office if your child qualifies for transportation but will need to ride the bus, or if your child will be participating in remote learning only and will not attend in-person instruction. So we included the phone numbers of each building for your reference. And we're going to give you a little time to think about that and any questions you might have. I'm going to quit sharing my screen so that we can return to see everyone who's here. And so I can see the message toolbar. Usually, depending on the device you're using, on the lower right-hand side, there's a to area. In the middle, on the lower part of your screen, it says chat. And if you click on that, you'll be able to type some questions. We're going to start with questions that we received via email. And we're just going to kind of bounce around on who's going to answer what based upon kind of what area it is and what they know about it. So we will take notes for any questions that we're not able to answer. And we'll share those with parents later. So one of the first questions that was sent via email, and I believe these were just from people who weren't going to be able to attend tonight, but we wanted to make sure to include them. Will the kids who attend in-person instruction from 8 to noon also be required to do the one-hour afternoon of remote learning? So yes, we are required to provide 5 hours of instruction. So we've managed to include 4 of those for in-person instruction. And then some of those electives will constitute the additional hour of learning that will be done remotely. Mr. Zarello, I think, is going to answer the next couple. I'll read you the questions. The concern, I'll just kind of paraphrase it. The concern was that students are going to be dismissed at noon. And if they ride a bus, they won't be able to eat lunch until they get off the bus and get home, which may be a little later than they're used to. Do you want to talk about that, Mr. Zarello?
Absolutely. I want to tell all you guys, thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate the questions and the opportunity to talk to you. As far as the bus situation goes, obviously the kids are going to be eating at a different time. But one of the great things about the elementary is that the teachers are very flexible. So if there's any, the kids need a snack, the teachers will provide snacks. The district is happy to pay for those. We don't want any kids going without food, and we definitely don't want anybody to, be missing out, especially if they're hungry. Our little guys, we want to make sure have what they need. So we will definitely provide snacks for teachers. So if a kid is hungry before they take off and they're not going to be able to eat when they normally do, they will be able to have something to eat at the school before they even leave. So we will take care of that.
The next question for the elementary was a question about if a student rides a bus and the bus is running behind, will they still get to eat breakfast?
Yes, they will get to eat breakfast. Breakfast is going to take place in their classroom. So whatever time they get to their classroom will be, the teachers will get them their breakfast. We may have to get, them milk, because the milk obviously won't be sitting out like that. But absolutely. And the buses, I think, will they be running a little earlier?
Yes. The next question, and I'll take this one. It basically asks about the temperature of 100.4 or more, and I think I kind of answered that in reading through the plan. But if a parent calls in and says that a student has a fever, those are obviously excused. There was a question about, have the absentee dates been adjusted in case a student is sick? There's a threshold set by the state for indicating that a student is truant. I can speak for the district and for our buildings in that we don't have any intention of trying to put anybody in jeopardy for attendance if they're out because they're ill. And so if they're out with a fever, they're out with a fever, and that's an excused absence because the parent has called them in. So the follow-up to that was the number of days they might be gone if they do have a fever. And that's consistent with past practice. Students should never be in school with a fever. Usually means they're infectious with something. And so it's consistent that they should be fever-free for 72 hours without medication. The next question has to do with Google Classroom and how parents are going to be able to communicate with their teacher. Mrs. Webb, did you want to take that one?
Sure, yeah. So the question is Google Classroom and Google Meet going to be the primary means of communication between families and teachers, and email too? And for this school year, yes, we'll be using primarily Google Classroom, Google Meet, which is a video conferencing, and a combination of email, along with a new app that's very similar to Skyward that teachers will be able to use to communicate with their families. So there's going to be a new app, and there's going to be some information coming home and posted to the website about how parents can sign up. And then in this question also, there was some concern of accessing these platforms on a mobile device, because so many of us are on our mobile devices more frequently than we are in front of a laptop. And for Google Meet and Google Classroom, there are free mobile apps that can be downloaded and signed into and used for that purpose. So I highly recommend, if your student is old enough and has a mobile phone, I highly recommend that for students. And then in terms of parent communication, definitely get an email going that you check frequently. And that will be a huge help if you have an email. Of course, if you have any questions on how to do that, you can contact me at the junior high and I can walk you through whatever you might need.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Harrison, did you want to cover those couple questions that had to do with the junior high?
Yes. The first question is, can we opt out of the SAC lunch if our kids would rather eat at home? The answer to that is yes. If you want your child to wait until they get home to eat, that is perfectly fine. They are not required to take a SAC lunch from us. The second question is there any remote learning for junior high other than band? The answer there is yes. All students will be taking language arts, literature, math, science, social studies, and PE. Band is one of the electives that will be taught remotely. If a student isn't in band, they may be put in strategic reading or in an RTI math class. If they are not in either one of those, there is a general music class, which will be taught by Mrs. Ferguson. And for sixth graders, there will also be a current events course. For seventh graders, a statistics and probability course. And for eighth graders, a current events course as well.
All right. This is Ms. Daly. Hello, everybody. My first question is, for high school band, is it remote or in person? High school band will be taught remotely. And this kind of feeds into the next question as well, how that's going to be done. The vision for that will be teachers teaching remotely, including band, will be doing kind of mini lessons, or well, that's the best term for it, I think, is mini lessons that will be recorded that students can access at any time throughout the day. So those will not have to be there at a certain time unless that teacher asks, maybe let's have a meeting together or something like that. I can see where maybe band would definitely be one that he requests they all be there at a certain time. But otherwise, it will be recorded and be able to be accessed throughout the day. And finally, how will this work for dual credit seniors? Can we be assured their required in-person classes will meet in the 8 to 12 time frame? Actually, our dual credit courses do not meet during the 8 to 12 time frame. They meet in the afternoons. Currently, we do not have enough students to provide in-school dual credit. So those Carl Sandburg classes, the teachers and Carl Sandburg have offered to teach it remotely as well. So at this time, the plan is for those to be remote classes as our after hours would be.
Okay. Did you cover the remote learning? Do you want me to cover that quickly on Oh, you did? Okay, I'm sorry. I must have missed that one. Okay, we do have some questions that have been posted, and we'll kind of work through these. Let me scroll up. They're starting to come in now. What about elementary students who might like to try and switch masks? I'm assuming that'll be covered at the beginning of the year in kind of procedures similar to what you do for PBIS. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We know that this coming back to the building with these little guys and the masks is going to be a challenge, not just for them, but for the teachers as well. Our staff does a fantastic job of monitoring all sorts of different behaviors every day. So adding the mask to the mix is just one more thing that I know they're going to be able to take care of. As far as the kids trying to switch masks, that's something that we've discussed. you know, we're going to do our best to try to have everybody understand that that's, you know, that's going to be kind of dangerous. We want to make sure everybody stays healthy. You need to keep your mask on and, you know, kind of, we don't want to share some things, and that's definitely one thing we don't want to share.
Okay, will there be a sixth grade orientation?
Yes, there will be a sixth grade orientation that will take place on August 11th. To make sure that we don't go above our restriction of 50 people at one time, we'll actually do that in three groups, and we'll send out an invitation. Each student will be allowed two adult guests to make sure, again, that we stay under 50. The times for that will be 6 to 6:30, 6:45 to 7:15, and 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Again, that's Tuesday, August 11th.
And I'm going to add to that, we will also have freshman orientation, the same format, the same way, same times and everything, except it will be on Monday, August 10th.
Ms. Daly, do you want to talk a little bit more about dual credit? It says, what does dual credit look like for the high school students?
Dual credit, as I said a little while ago, dual credit will be a remote class unless we end up getting enough students signed up for those classes to have Carl Sandburg send us faculty members to teach that. And that magic number is usually around 12. Currently, we don't have that. So basically, that would be dual credit enrollment. Dual credit courses would be taken after 12 o'clock remotely for students. So they would be doing that at home rather than their sixth period or their fifth period remote, their fifth hour remote learning class.
Okay. Next question. For students who are remote learning, would we need to come to the school every day to pick up their meals, or will it be like last semester, getting a week at a time? Last semester, we were fortunate. Well, I suppose it's how you look at it. Fortunate we were able to deliver the meals because we weren't transporting students. We clearly would have been rather transporting students to and from school. So when we return to school this time, we will be transporting students in the morning and in the afternoon. So no, we will not be able to do delivery. So yes, you would need to contact the school to arrange for pickup of breakfast and lunch if you would like to take advantage of that. Next question is, when will high school students receive their schedule so that adjustments can be made?
And I will take that. I'm going to look up a date for you right now. I know the approximate, but I don't have on my head what date that is. They will be opened up no later than August 5th on Skyward for schedules to be seen. If you have an immediate need, if you want to go ahead and call the office, I can take care of that for you. Or if you want to email me directly, I can also take care of that for you.
Next question, will driver's ed be remotely done till they have to drive?
No, we actually will have that as a course during the morning hours. So that will be one of the six periods that they choose to take.
Okay, for the 1 hour remote learning requirement, does that need to happen at a specific time, or can it be done completed when parents and children have time? That'll be flexible. We know that each family has different constraints they're trying to work under, whether it's work or family issues or taking care of family or daycare in those different situations. So for the remote learning, it will be dependent upon the teacher to provide that content. They might be posting videos, they might be providing written work, but that again will all happen through Google Classroom because we're committed to using one platform so families don't have to manage multiple platforms. Will PE be taught in person for the high school?
PE actually will be the remote learning hour outside of school for all of our high school students this year.
If you choose remote only option, how will driver's ed be done?
I'm going to be honest, I don't have state requirements for that yet. I would like to say we could do that remotely just like we do any other class, but I don't know that the state will allow that. So we'll have to wait for official guidance from them on driver's ed.
Okay, we just got a reminder that, I just passed by it, that Art Dual Credit has a class in the high school.
You are absolutely right, and I apologize for that. Art will be one that we do have enough to have a class here.
will the elementary still have a Meet the Teacher night?
That was something that we talked about, and because of the numbers and trying to keep it under 50, we are going to be looking at probably a virtual or a remote Meet the Teacher night. That's something that I will discuss with the teachers when we have our faculty meeting. It's kind of how we want to look at that. We'll give them some ability to be creative on how they want to contact parents and do some of those things. We would love to have everybody come in like we always do, but obviously under our current situation, that is not possible. So right now we're looking at doing a remote or kind of an online version of that evening.
There's an add-on to that from another parent. Ms. Daly shared earlier when Skyward would go live with schedules. Is that the same time that teacher lists will be available? Are we going to shoot for that same date, Mr. Zarello, for elementary?
For the
opening up Skyward to parents. Yeah. And what was that date again?
August 5th.
August 5th. Okay. What is the process if a student decides to no longer remote learn? There was some confusion with this earlier too. I think we had a few parents who thought you might be able to remote learn on Monday and then come in on Tuesday and remote learn on Wednesday. You need to make a commitment by August 7th whether your child is going to remote learn or participate in in-person instruction. If you get a few weeks down the schedule and into the school year and what you selected is no longer working, please contact your building principal and conference to see how we can either make that experience more successful or that you might need to make a switch. Okay, but we don't want to do in and out. That'll make it very difficult for families and teachers to coordinate that. When will the elementary supply list be posted?
Hopefully we'll have that posted early next week. We've asked teachers to readjust what they've had on their supply list so that if they have things for remote and for school.
Another one about the supply list, so we answered that. Is the high school guidance counselor currently working now through the start of the school year so that questions are answered and issues are resolved within a timely fashion? I will tell you, contractually, she's not supposed to be working, but we see her all the time, and she is working to straighten out schedules. And Ms. Daly, did you want to add anything to that?
As she said, she's in and out working on schedules right now. If you have any concerns or issues that you need to be sure to get answered, the best route might be to come to me first, simply because I am working. So I might see it quicker than our counselor would see the question.
All right, this next question is a good one and something we talked about right before we signed on tonight. Will the 1 hour remote per day have to be done daily? For example, could students spend 5 hours on Sunday doing it for the entire week? It's a great question. Because yes, we do recognize that this is inconvenient for families and that everybody is trying to adjust based upon their own personal needs. So what will be important is that your child checks in on Google. If they are working remotely for a class, or if they are completely remote learning, that they make sure that they access Google Classroom and stay engaged with that so that the teacher can tell that they've been present during that day. But no, there will be some flexibility on completing that remote learning. Let's see. Is there any kind of dress code for masks? What if a student comes to school with something inappropriate on their mask? So the dress code, I'll take this one, and you guys can jump in if I misstate. The dress code with a mask would be no different than dress code with attire. So it should be age appropriate and nothing offensive or suggestive with weaponry or alcohol or drugs. So in terms of dress code too, there's been a lot of instances that I've seen lately of like crocheted masks or nylon masks. It needs to be a traditional face covering where the mouth and nose is covered. Are the breakfast and lunch prices the same as previous years? Well, this is information we haven't even shared yet, so you will hear it here first. The board approved the district applying for what's called community eligibility. So actually, for the first time this year, we will not be charging for breakfast and lunch. All students will be offered that opportunity. Now, certainly if your child wants to purchase an extra milk, when we return to normal situation and they're going through the line and they want an extra serving of something or they want an extra milk, then they would be charged for that. But so that's really good news that we haven't even had the opportunity to announce yet. Will you provide Chromebooks for those without, Mrs. Webb?
A Chromebook will be provided for every student to take home, preschool through seniors. So every student that's enrolled full-time, whether they choose remote or in-person learning, will be issued a Chromebook for that purpose.
Okay. So far, unless you have anything else, I have one more question. So if you have another question, get it on here so we can make sure that we answer all of them. Should all students' families be sending sanitizer, cleaners, et cetera, as a courtesy? Can this be added to all levels of a supplies need? That's a really great and generous idea. We have not discussed this, so I'll just share what my initial thought is. There's been a lot of press lately on hand sanitizers that are actually toxic and of danger to children. So I would actually suggest that we discourage that from students bringing that, because then we would have to monitor kind of the contents on that. Now, if there are families who have access to large quantities of this and want to make a donation to the school district as a whole that we could then divide out into smaller bottles, we would certainly welcome that generosity if you're able to do that. Will there be school-related masks to be purchased? There's a good question. That's a good idea. So I don't think we have an answer to that yet, but we could certainly look into that, and that would build some school spirit. And so somebody right now, Mr. Zarello is writing that down right now. Please remind us how it will be determined which children will receive lunch. So I'm assuming in the morning, first hour, they will be taking a lunch count, correct, in each first hour class and at the elementary and homeroom. And then that list, kind of old school, kind of how we used to do it, that list will then be sent to the cafeteria. Those students who are walkers or ride home will be given those at the end of the day to take home. And for our bus riders, those will be loaded onto buses to be handed out when they exit. What about extracurricular clubs like FFA?
Well, again, we don't have that answer. Kind of waiting for guidance from our state. You know, I don't know how well, how much you've been following the news, but IHSA, for example, they did meet today, and we're supposed to have official word by next Thursday of how that's going to proceed. Clubs that do not involve contact, that will be something we need to look at and figure out the best way we can proceed. Obviously, we'd like to keep our students engaged as much as possible, and I know those are important to a lot of people. So we will just have to kind of do a wait and see on that one for now.
What time do the buses plan on having the students to the school in the mornings? The plan is, Mr. Vantine has indicated that buses would probably pick up a little earlier, I would imagine. And be prepared that at first, because of the time it's going to take to get in a smooth routine on taking temperatures, that those routes in the morning at first will take a little bit longer until we get into our routine. So for those students that register to ride the bus, we'll make sure that you have an anticipated pickup time well before school starts. Is there something that needs to be added for parents to know in order to make this run more smoothly? I'll start and then I'll run this around the table if anybody has different ideas. The main thing that I can think of is our students model the behavior of the adults in their lives. And I know that their parents are very important to them and their teachers are very important to them. And as much of as a disruption as this is to the home life, this 4-hour school day, it gets kids back in school every day and it gets them in front of teachers every day. Parents, if you can send your kids to school with a smile and looking forward to returning, even if they do have to wear the mask, I think attitude is going to be half the struggle. If teachers have to spend 2 and 3 hours a day justifying the use of a mask or justifying social distancing, our teachers know how to make that fun and know how to make it part of a regular routine. So I would just ask that students be sent to school with a good attitude and excited to return. That would be my nugget of wisdom if I were asked. Does anybody have anything else?
Just to add to that, I don't ever underestimate any age child to be able to learn these things. I've heard a lot of people, younger kids aren't going to be able to keep the mask on. You would be surprised what they can and can't do sometimes. Even if they're maybe giving you a hard time in the store keeping it on, you would be surprised here at school when the whole group's doing it and so forth. Things that do. My big thing is just support and communication. If you question something, please, more than ever, give us a call, drop an email. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of misunderstood things, some confusing things as we move forward on both sides. So that's something I'm going to urge our faculty and staff is to increase that communication, and I ask you as parents to do the same.
Yeah, and on that note, Ms. Daly, I would say that as a parent, if you don't have an email account right now that you're used to using and logging into, now is a really good time to either create one or revisit that one that you created a few years ago and you haven't really checked on. And then get that email address inside your parent portal of Skyward. There's some resources online for how to do that, and you can call your school office and they can kind of walk you through how to get that email account. But email is going to be invaluable as we move forward with this hybrid model.
All right, everybody have a chance? Okay, next question. I think it maybe fell short, but are all fall sports, I'm assuming is are all four fall sports canceled would be my guess is what the question is. Just got notification today that IESA canceled junior high football. They're waiting to make a call on basketball. We're still waiting on high school athletics. And cross country is canceled as well through the IESA. If I were a betting person, I would not anticipate fall sports, but I don't get a vote on that, and I hope I'm wrong. So all indications lead us to believe that fall sports are going to be difficult to pull off with the restrictions in place. Will there still be a breakfast and lunch menu? There will, but please anticipate that that is going to be because of how we're sending it home and how we're going to have to be packaging it and making sure that it stays safe, that will be a limited menu. So yes, we still will work to provide an idea so kids know whether they want to eat what the school is providing. Ms. Daly, will this affect credits for seniors?
No, we worked very hard to make sure that in no way was this going to affect credits for seniors. We will still also have Ingenuity for any credit recovery that needs to be done. Students this year have to have they would have to have 26 credits to graduate, which means everybody should be on track if they've passed all their courses up to this point. So that's why we're having six choices for credits this semester or this year for them.
Just a clarification on the remote learning. If your student chooses to engage in remote learning and not come to in-person instruction in the junior high and high school, then yes, it would be the expectation that they log on at 8:00 in the morning and that they stay engaged through their schedule with their various teachers through noon. If a class is only being offered remotely, that'll have a little bit more flexibility because teachers' schedules will vary so much in the afternoon. So just wanted to clarify that. What sports are we having this year? I think we just answered that one. So that one was probably hanging out there before we answered. When a child is in special education, will they be with their regular room and grade level? And do we need to talk to the office if our students need to take the bus home? So yes, you do need to register through your school office for transportation. Mrs. Rhodes, do you want to talk about special education students and IEPs a little bit?
Yeah, IEPs are going to be a little bit adjusted just because our day is shortened. So all those minutes that are on a child's IEP, but it's going to be proportionate to what they would have received before. So whatever is in your child's IEP, is still going to be in place. So if they need to be with their regular ed classroom for part of the day, that will still be happening.
Is there going to be increased consistency with grades? There were some issues last year with Skyward. Yes, we are going to be more consistent. Last March, when this all happened, we had about 24 hours notice and then over the weekend to pull this together. And I don't think any of us would say that we pulled it together well, but I think we did an admirable job considering the resources that our teachers had in front of them. And so, yes, the work has been consistent over the summer. Mrs. Webb has been offering opportunity after opportunity to increase our tech skills and tech consistency. And so I think that you'll have a much better experience this year because we've had time to plan for this. Question about riding the bus, if your students ever had before. Keep in mind that transportation is only provided for those students who are eligible, and so who live, it's a mile and a half from their attendance center. So transportation would not be provided to students who don't qualify. Registration, is it open? Yes, it is open. Skyward has been open for a couple of weeks now. And so we would encourage you to complete that process as soon as you can. If Chromebooks are available at home, do the students need to take one to school back and forth? Mrs. Webb?
I would encourage that, yes. Just because we know what hardware our computers have that we're sending home. So we know what to expect from that device. If that device were to break, I happen to have a lot of resources where I could repair it in-house. So it's just a matter of consistency. We want to know what device is being sent home with the kids and what capabilities it has.
Let's see, next question. How many students will be in each classroom in the high school? That varies based upon class selection. Ms. Daly and Ms. Wrench are working right now to kind of manage those passing times so that we don't have a huge influx of students in the hallway at once. I don't see any other questions. We'll give it a couple more minutes. We'll hang on here to make sure we got everything. If there's a question that you think of, because I know I always do this, I participate in something and then I'm driving home and think, I should have asked that question. Please make sure you email your principal and they will get back to you. And then they also, if they see the same question happening, will know that that's a common question and get that out to their parents. We have a question, book pickup. I'm not sure what that means.
Probably, I'm going to assume that means if your child's going to be remote.
Okay. So if that's the question, if not, please add some more so we make sure we answer it correctly. But if your student is doing remote learning only, that would be coordinated through the elementary or the junior high or the high school office. So you would have to contact the office by August 7th to indicate that you're doing remote learning only, and then they would coordinate those materials to be sent home. Will they be switching classrooms at the high school?
Yes, they will be switching classes at the high school. Let me try to explain the process as easily as I can, and I know I'm going to get everybody confused, but what we are currently doing, we took the entire high school, alphabetized them, we divided them into groups of 50. We will have four groups, therefore, or three groups, group A, B, and C. We will call group A. They will move as the hallway's clear. They will move to the next class as the hallway's clear. We'll call group B, same with group C. Then in the end, we have two hallways that we will release separately. And that's just to try to keep the congestion down. So it's kind of a confusing process, and I'm going to have to think of a much better way to explain it, but that's basically it.
Just a little background on that, too, on why they're switching classes. Obviously, you can keep K-5 students in their homeroom class because that's the structure of K-5. 6-8, while we have a junior high model, we can still group those kids in grade levels, just kind of extending the elementary experience a little bit, because we're not tied to graduation requirements and certain coursework for them. So at the high school, you have a lot more intergrade mixing for some classes. You might have a Math 2 class that has freshmen, sophomores, and in some cases for credit recovery, juniors. So it's impossible to keep them in what we call a cohort class in the same classroom and have teachers move. So that's why that's a little different at the high school. The other thing I mentioned earlier that we would cover, one of the main questions we're getting is, if we can go from 8 to noon, why can't we go 8 to 3? And so the reason is because as a school district, we're required to also support those remote learners. So if teachers are engaged in in-person teaching from 8 to noon, they then need a lunch and they need a prep to plan for all that in-person instruction. They're then also required in the afternoon to address the needs of those remote learners. And so they can't be in two places at once. And so because we're having to provide two different models, teachers need to have time to do both models. So in-person instruction in the morning, remote learning in the afternoon. So that's the primary reason. The other reason, the problem that we struggled with, is we have too many students to be able to feed them safely and in groups of less than 50, unless we were to feed them all day long, which would be disruptive to instruction. And we also don't have enough staff actually to provide that kind of safe small group lunch. So really the models of instruction, doing it remotely and doing in person, really drove that decision. We were just thrilled we figured out a model to get them in front of us every day. Thank you for the informational meeting. Oh, thank you for the kind words. You're very welcome. Is there still going to be an AM and a PM pre-K? Because of the schedule, pre-K will be morning only from 8 to 10:30. Because the remote learning will be happening in the afternoon, the other thing that will be happening in the afternoon once we dismiss students is some deep cleaning. And so we're gonna make efforts to really get the buildings free of students in large numbers so that we can clean buildings adequately and know that we're ready to go for the next day. And that looks to be all the questions. While we wait to make sure we don't have any more, any final comments from anybody at the table? Thank you for joining us tonight and helping with the questions and giving perspective. And
I know we all appreciate you guys logging on and being involved and asking great questions. We hope we were able to give you some good information. We appreciate you guys being a part of this process.
All right. Thank you. And we're going to end the meeting and have a good evening. And we will see you all soon.